Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Phones on silent, please.
Silence. All of your phones. It's Race Chaser.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to the first ever episode of Race Chaser, a podcast dedicated to discussion and dissection.
And dissemination.
Of every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
The beginning!
This is the beginning. My name's Alaska.
Hi.
What's yours?
I'm Willem.
Hi.
Here we go.
Now,
Wow, you sound so clear.
You sound so crisp.
Wow, this is us in the future.
Yes.
Once we figure out how the mics work. We're sorry for the audio quality now, but it gets better. Keep listening.
Truly. Enjoy the show. Hello.
Are you excited to host a podcast? Have you done one before?
I usually
travel.
Right, you travel, you don't host. I actually travel and I don't host too. I love being on podcasts. I've never sat in the, you know, in the chair like this.
I've never had an official podcast either. So this is new, breaking new ground. Just like Ru did with the first season. The first season is crazy if you watch it back.
Yes. And as a keynote, I want to break the champagne over the boat. You know what I mean? I would like to say that I think the world has been really changed greatly by this phenomenon. I have tremendous respect and admiration for every single queen who's walked into that workroom, for all the people who work on the show, who still work on the show, who made it happen. And so this podcast is a celebration.
It's a love letter.
It is. It's a celebration of the phenomenon that is RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's a do you like me check, yes or no. And we're checking yes. We love, we appreciate the show.
Yes. And we appreciate it.
We're here to backcomb it with our foot. And give it some volume. Because some of y'all need to look up this first season. You new kids that are 14 and love us, you know. Look up the first season and appreciate and worship the dolls. We're here to worship the dolls.
Yeah.
And Merle Ginsburg. What's a Merle Ginsburg, you ask? Yeah, she was a judge, and she's not on it anymore. She's a respected fashion author.
Yeah, she's noted.
Noted.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we bring a perspective.
Yeah, I think we're a good team because, yes. Because yes.
We've been through the process.
We've definitely been through it. You've been through it twice.
Yeah.
I was on Drag U.
Uh-huh.
Because somebody couldn't pass their background check. Thank God for that. I think we'll look at it with a very unbiased eye and give you the truth, give you some tea, and, you know, you'll be better after you listen to this and after you tell your friends about this.
It will. It will make your life better.
Yeah, it will.
I believe one of the best gifts you can give yourself is time. Time to be... That's how Oprah starts all of her podcasts.
Oh, really?
I love it.
You tell, I've never watched. What was your experience with season one? Did they ask you to audition?
Okay. I did this performance. I had just started drag around that time. Mm-hmm. And I had just moved to LA and I was dipping my toes into drag. And I did this horrible performance downtown. Everything went wrong. The music was not in the right key. I couldn't hear. I wanted to do this tear away.
So consistent. You're consistent.
A girl, hallelujah. I wanted to do this tear away. So I wore this plastic like saran wrap. Dress again, consistency. Mm-hmm. And I had written a message underneath on my chest.
Please tell me you sweat it off.
Okay, so first of all, wearing plastic, sweated the message, gone.
Invisible ink.
And I couldn't rip the dress because I was ripping it side to side instead of, there was no score up and down to rip.
You didn't do it on the bias.
Girl, there was no bias. Damn. And so I was literally on this balcony and I'm struggling
feeble
with a dress, and it becomes unbreakable at a certain point unless you have like scissors. So it was literally horrible.
So you couldn't break the dawn.
I couldn't break the dawn. Damn. I didn't break the dawn.
Damn.
I didn't break the dawn.
Damn, damn, damn.
So afterwards, this guy comes up and he's like, okay, so you've heard of RuPaul. RuPaul is doing a new reality show and we think you would be perfect. And Jeremy was playing piano with me and he was like, so it's a thing where drag queens and their best friends come on and they compete. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Like, this is some Hollywood, you know, freak making shit up. Yeah. Right.
And in actuality, he is Duran Ophir.
I don't think it was Duran.
Are you sure? Because he was the original casting, and the original casting was funded by an energy drink.
Maybe it was Duran.
An energy, that voice, it sounded very Duran. An energy drink gave Duran $10,000 to go around the country and find these girls and recruit, and that was the original casting budget. And like those original casting files, like season one, have like Alexis Michelle in them, and have over 100 girls that have since been on the show from those original files.
Wow, yeah. That was the original drag
OG
search.
Yeah, he was the one. They contacted me about doing it. I remember I was driving on Laurel Canyon, and they said, okay, we want to consider you for this show, blah, blah, blah. I said, cool, well, I'll come in. When can I meet with you guys? They're like, oh, make a tape. And I was like, honey, I'm not making a tape. I'm not going. They never cast off tape. I'll go in and meet with the producers. Do I have to do a pre-read? And they're like, no, I don't think you understand. And I was like, I'm an actor. And
right.
And so it never happened. And thank God. You know?
I know, right? I have so much respect for the OG season one girls. They didn't know what this was going to be.
They took off work. They didn't know.
They literally, if someone was like, there's no conceptualization for me because there's pre-Drag Race and there's after it. There's no, I don't know. I couldn't imagine.
I know I said no. So what happened after he contacted you about that? Was there any discussion about, because the original concept of the show was drag queens and their best Judy or like their seamstress or their, and did you have one plan that was going to go with you at that point or did
it was going to be Jeremy if we went. So we went in for an in-person audition on Santa Monica Boulevard.
So they were seeing people.
Yeah. Yeah. The Duran Ophir office.
Santa Monica Boulevard and Vine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We went in and I looked really cute. And they use it in the casting special. You see the pink hair.
Legacy footage?
I looked cool. However, I didn't know how to... You're literally sitting in a little dark room with a camera and in a chair. And I didn't know how to do that.
How was the light?
The light was, I think, fine. But I didn't know how to... It's a skill to sit there and, like, turn it on for a little black dot.
Yep.
I'm an audience girl, you know? Yeah. I had always been with an audience. So it was so new to me and so foreign, I froze on camera.
Wow.
And it was a bad audition. And we felt it when we left and we were like, that's not happening. Like, that was a fail.
Well, they got me, gal.
So thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Little black dots can turn into big red lights.
Girl, hallelujah.
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 Now, the show started with an opening sequence of RuPaul with baby pictures, and she is adorable.
So cute.
I've seen some of these pictures in her book. Was it Supermodel of the World? What was her book called? The pink one? Working It?
Letting It All Hang Out.
That was it. That was the one I did the book report on.
That's a great book.
It's a good book, yeah. And there's good pictures. I remember it ends with her meeting Diana Ross on a plane, and I was like, oh, wow. Cool.
We met Kesha on a plane once.
We did.
It was not the Concorde.
No. did we know it was her?
We did not. It was like they held the plane.
Uh-huh.
And Gina Davis ended up getting
Oh, Gina was there. I remember. And her work was lovely.
So lovely. And her whole family came on the plane.
She got a husband for a surgeon, a doctor husband. Yeah. Dottie, I married a plastic surgeon.
And we were sitting there, and they held the plane even longer. We were like, what is going on? And then finally, this girl comes in, and she's just sort of covered up in a hoodie and, like, sweats and, like, goes and lays in the corner.
Didn't look down.
Next to us. Right. So we were like, okay, cool. As we were getting off, we realized it was Kesha.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, I loved that video. My friend was in it. She said, it was great.
You love detox. You always have to find a way to relate to them where they're like, if they wouldn't talk to you, they'd be a dickhead. That's what I do.
That's the key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to cornering a celebrity and talking to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? They said that thousands applied for the show, and I don't know where the decimal is on that, but I know that they had to hunt down some people. Original casting told me that he went to Dreamgirls, and basically all of Chad Michaels and his crew said, no, thank you.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Can you imagine Chad on that one?
Oh.
Ugh.
It's so weird.
I don't think they had the tobacco budget.
They said no.
They said no. They said thank you, no.
Mm-mm. All of them. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that the herstory of this moment just kind of like crept up on everybody, and then the first season feels like a standalone piece, like a pilot or like a whole test for the eventual series, because the formats are different. There's things that aren't there that we miss. There's things that are there that were like, what the fuck? Mainly the blurry filter. And I know that they were trying to make it look richer than it looked with that blurring, because the set was a little CB2 dorm. In fact, the judging table, I'm pretty sure, is a Crate and Barrel table that we're actually sitting at now.
Right.
Because they are squozed up in there.
Yeah.
Squozed. Like an 11 and a 12 inch shoe. Definitely. You know when that one toe overlaps.
Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was no man spreading on that.
I think season one has gotten sort of a bad reputation over time. But
why? I wasn't on it.
Well, exactly. It sort of was the hidden season that now is finally available on iTunes. Yeah. You can buy it.
I think there was music clearance issues.
There was. And now they're like, okay, well, bitch, here it is. We're doing it. But
warts and all.
But I think when you go back and watch it, it holds up to this day. It's entertaining. It's a phenomenon. You can feel that something is happening here.
It's bookended by a great theme song. The theme song has been consistent for all 10 seasons so far.
Yes.
It's a great opening, a great closer. Whoever designed the opening credits should have been given an Emmy. I love it. And this is the first time we actually hear Lip Sync for Your Life, and the rules of the show are explained. And I think they're pretty consistent. If you suck, you go home.
Right.
As long as you have no story. So, I know you have all the queens memorized. I'm going to... I think there were 8 or 9, were there?
8.
8. Okay, I'm going to see if I could do it. I think there was... Porkchop, Kasha... Glasscock, Nina, BB, Angina. I got 2 more. I got a big girl.
Tammy Brown.
Tammy Brown, Latin. Well, I know she speaks Spanish.
Did you say Jade?
I didn't. There you go. That's 8. Wow.
Porkchop, Tammy, Akasha, Jade, Angina, Chanel, Rebecca, Nina, BB.
Chanel.
Chanel.
I forgot about Chanel.
Yeah. What an amazing group.
Yeah, it's a great cross-section of girls, and they really did their best to show a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get into the entrances into the workroom?
Mm-hmm.
The first ever queen to walk into the workroom is Chanel.
Mm. And she walks, she does. She doesn't look down once.
Ass out.
And she says her drag is realistic.
She's wearing assless jeans.
Is she wearing her Medusa head at that point? People call her the Barbra Streisand of drag, she says. Which, I mean, does that mean she's difficult to work with? Utilitarian, or what? Or is that she has many illusions?
Her Barbara Streisand is so fucking good.
It is.
Am I allowed to swear? I'm allowed to swear on this.
Yeah, it's our podcast.
Uh-huh. Are we going to lose sponsorship?
Oh my God.
From Rush?
From Absolute.
Rush Video Head Cleaner?
From Double Scorpio? They're my preferred popper sponsor.
Pig Sweat?
Oh my God. The first workroom was sponsored by Mac too, which was pretty cool, I thought.
That's lit. Yeah. Mac is fierce.
Nina Flowers was second coming in. And I remember when I saw the show in season, I started watching it, I think, in season 3 when I found out Raja won early. I was like, oh, cool, Raja won. I know her. And I went back and like looked at the other girls. And I was like, Nina, who's this Nina? She's amazing. And based off first impressions, I would say either Nina or Chanel, I thought, would win.
I can't imagine being in, walking into that room and seeing Chanel there and how intimidating. Yeah. Like, because she's such a, like, presence, and she's really fucking good at drag.
She is.
I'd be like, well, this show is hers, yeah. So...
Let me go into this basement and talk to these other girls who are going to beat me, which is probably what Rebecca Glasscock thought, because she was third to enter the room.
T-shirt and jeans.
Nothing but a t-shirt on. And she was carrying a handbag, which I like. A lady can never be too short.
Girl, you're never short at night.
No, never.
The thing is, there's no concept before this. There's no prototype.
None.
There's no, like, oh, well, I'm not going to wear that into the workroom because it looks stupid. You don't know what you're doing.
I like that there's an innocence about it. There's definitely an age of innocence where it's not like, let me throw this catchphrase out and hope people catch it. I already have it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
$45 at Drag Queen Merch. You know, like, there's definitely...
Oh, so you see my website?
I'm familiar with your back catalog.
You see my social?
The pork chop comes in fifth. And
she's that queen who goes to every call for... She's in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
She works her ass off and goes to the auditions and puts in the tape.
She's a hustler.
She was in Trantasia.
Ooh.
She was in The Pageant.
The one from 68?
No.
Oh.
No, that's the
that's
queen.
That's Queen. Oh, sorry.
She's a baby, Elle, and
no, she's fresh off the tip.
She works her ass off.
Yeah, she's great.
Akasha, also ass out.
Well, Akasha says, if I was a girl, I'd be a stripper or a slut and pregnant with a whole bunch of children. I like that she knows her brand.
She does. Yeah. She delivers at all times.
She definitely does. Tammy Brown comes in next, and shockingly, Rebecca Glasscock thinks she's weird.
Well, she's right.
She's kooky.
Yes.
I think weird has a terrible definition. Like
kooky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The eighth girl is Jade. And Jade's just stunning. She's animalistic to me. I like her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah. Really beautiful.
Dick down. Dick. Ooh. Brutal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the sound her foreskin makes when you pull it back. There's that much. I love it.
Trade Sotomayor.
Trade Sotomayor. Definitely.
That's the hashtag.
That should be her name. BB comes in last.
God bless Bibi Zahara.
Ooh, what does she wear?
She was dressed in sort of like a businessy woman.
She didn't come to play.
It's smart because...
Hold her calls.
Right.
And didn't she wear business on All Stars 2 on her entrance look? Or that her runway was...
It was a remake of this entrance.
It looked like the same one.
Oh my God.
I'll say it.
It was an upgrade. It was an upgrade.
It was an upgrade to economy comfort. It wasn't even business.
I think she was informed by the pageant system because this, I would categorize this as interview portion.
Definitely interview, bus driver wig, side swoop.
It's efficient. You have your purse. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to a meeting.
Very that, yeah. Little dangle earring.
Yeah.
The lighting is transphobic. That's all I will say about it. There is overhead lighting. There is not a ring light. Even on the block. I think it may be votive candles.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. Wow. You can even see the keloids on some of these girls' ears from gluing the earrings on.
Oh my god.
Damn. It's crazy. But I like the girls that have the purses because you really can never be too sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that first challenge they throw at you, it's like, go to a dumpster and fight zombies, you know? Yeah. What was their first challenge?
It is Drag on a Dime, which we will talk about right after this break.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Welcome back to Race Chaser. Now, please, Mr. Postman, tell me about the first You've Got Gmail. Jordan. Sorry, trigger warning, too.
Well, okay, it just sort of pops up on a screen. She doesn't say, ooh, girl, you've got a... It just comes up on the screen. So it's one of those subtle, like, slid in kind of...
Mm-hmm. Post-production.
It's like, right.
They say, girls, get over here by the TV.
Right.
We're going to put something in later. That'll be offensive in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks to me by the lighting, far be it from me to say anything bad about a drag queen ever, but...
You've never.
Never. I don't agree with hate speech like that.
Yeah.
It looks to me like the post-production was a result of either nuclear holocaust... Because RuPaul is so... RuPaul is more blown out than my asshole after White Party. It looks like she probably didn't like how she was shot, and so they did something with a filter. And the filter is a strong choice.
Yeah. And I also think, okay, the whole, like, lighting scenario in season one, the whole thing, is... I think it was kind of a parody of...
Top Model.
Top Model.
Definitely.
The whole show was kind of a takeoff of Top Model.
Definitely.
So I think maybe it was kind of like, well, just blur me to hell like they do to Tyra, but do it so much that it's like hilarious. But
you
we miss out
her eyebrow.
Right.
We miss out on her eyebrows.
On seeing her, and she, like, she's stunning.
I mean, a lot of people, when they want to talk about RuPaul, and inadequacies in makeup, there's only one shining example, and that's Project Runway. But the Project Runway thing, if you look at it, her makeup is flawless. It's the wig that's the problem. And the lighting. If you don't light a drag queen right, it's very hard to fix later. Yes. And I'm not sure what the situation was here, but I think Rue deserves better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I'll say about that.
Because really, drag is a magic trick. And it's not even so much makeup and hair and clothes. It is light. Lighting. It's light.
The best makeup job in the world can be rendered useless by shoddy lighting.
The truth. That's the truth.
Yeah, or a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, they're still figuring it out here.
Yes.
But, you know, she's there.
She's there. Yep. Highlighted.
Nuclear.
The yellow highlighter, literally. You need to all look at this. Damn. Damn.
Okay. RuPaul comes in the workroom for the... Does he say hello, hello, hello?
No.
Can we get a ruling?
That was later, and it was a ripoff of Valerie Cherish. An homage, yes. Not a ripoff. Drag yes. is an homage, never a ripoff.
I mean, hallelujah. She looks great there when she turns around.
Movement is always good. She does!
So, what is the timeline on this?
2008, I think, or 2010.
When was the first comeback?
The comeback was before that.
So, yes, he has said that Hello, Hello, Hello is the Valerie Cherish-ism.
Yes, and he was on the comeback in later episodes, because my friend Stephen Guarino was also on that episode, shared a van with him, and was notoriously not spoken to by him after attempting.
Well,
I guess he was in character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they announced the first mini-challenge. It's a photo shoot with Mike Ruiz. And it's daytime drag and outside. And as we know, Daylight is no friend to the Dragoon, as Bun Bun was.
No.
Yeah.
This sets the precedent for the first ever challenge being trial by fire. They probably will light them on fire.
That's why they have a hose.
Girl, literally.
I thought my season was going to be fire, because I knew they had water.
Water.
They had
air.
Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Air. And then they had, earth, probably, because they were on the ground. At some point. What was
what did Raja do?
Jumping.
Right. So, and you guys kind of had ground because you were on a spinning thing.
Yeah.
And they were squirting liquid at you.
But that's when they got into heavy ripoff mode and they're like, let's just do the Alexander McQueen show.
Well,
shoot paint. So.
It sets that precedent for we are going to literally destroy the girls on day one. Mm-hmm. They're outside, which is the enemy of the Dragoon, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to just throw water on you. It's literally the drag queen nightmare.
It is.
Day one.
We're going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then build you up from there.
Number.
Yeah. Before your first number.
Akasha is lit that she got wet, that her drag is wet. She's
plucked.
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 Pork chops distracted by the models.
She is. Which, season one pit crew, they are lovely gal.
Bitch, Wakanda forever. I love them.
We need lovely
to look,
gal.
We're going to look them up.
Yeah.
Find them.
Get them on as guests.
I think we should. Get them.
Can we find them?
I just want to get on them.
You're going to suck all these Santas.
Suck all these Santas. I think Nina takes a stunning photo. But
she does.
Every photo she takes is stunning.
Yeah.
That paint is bulletproof, you know?
It literally is. Oh,
it's so good. Like, I find when Miss Fame does my makeup, I have to make one face.
Mm-hmm.
Nina's got the same kind of makeup that can just go on and you're beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? So, Nina was always my front runner. The queens, after they're wet, obviously have to take off their wet drag, dry their pads out in the sun, and who do you think is the most shocking boy to girl?
Nina Flowers.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because she always covers up her arms in drag.
Yeah, her tattoos.
And then
her neck tattoos.
Yeah, and she's literally tatted.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jade is also, like, he's very handsome out of drag.
I've tried to fuck him twice, actually, not knowing that he was my sister. And
Sister Dick will make you sick.
It will. Oh, but I want it. Bitch, give it to me. It's happened twice. It's like, and then he'll look at me, he'll go, girl. I'm like, oh, hey, girl. And I get it. But, you know, they use the term lesbians with each other instead of kai kai. And
right.
Everybody thinks Akasha is loud, which is so strange.
Right. Porkchop is like, girl, some of these gals are just running around being loud and crazy, and I don't do all that.
No, she doesn't run at all. And the prizes now are much more illustrious, but back then, $20,000 was a lot.
Yes, and it's still a very decent package. You get a photo spread in Paper Magazine, mm-hmm. a portrait by Greg Gorman, LA Iwerks, the Absolute Vodka Pride Tour.
Gigged booked down.
Gigged. And this is like the first year. It's straight out of the gate. There's no... Do you think they were just calling in favors like left and right? Do you think Rue was like, hey, we did a photo shoot. Can we like put this as the prize?
I mean...
When you're doing a TV show, you literally call in everybody.
I do know that if casting had to get their casting budget from a energy drink sponsor,
yeah.
You know there was no money. There was no money there. This was a fledgling show. The highest rated show on Logo before RuPaul's Drag Race was a show my husband was on, Shirts and Skins, about a gay basketball team in San Francisco called the Rock Dogs.
Oh, I love that.
And this you usurped it. However you say that word.
Girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drag is hard. RuPaul, when she comes into the workroom, touches everyone.
He comes in that door and he is just glowing.
Glad-handing. Happy to be there.
So excited. And yes, it is very intimate. It's informal.
I mean, there would be no show without the girls. So I think that really shows and he appreciates them being there. Akasha took off work for it, you know? As she says later. She took off work.
I took off work. I want to be here.
She let her PO know she was leaving the state. All that.
Oh my God.
The main challenge is drag on a dime. And the queens are provided with old hand-me-downs and dollar store items to make a big drag look that screams them.
Why is season 5 like mirroring season 1 for me right now? Because
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Our first challenge, we were in a water tank, so it's like water. And then our first main challenge was dumpster diving drag. So we were literally picking up stuff and making a thing. So I don't know. I feel a kinship.
I definitely agree that the easiest thing to do is just give queens trash and make them a treasure, you know?
It's what we do for a living.
Consistently. Detox and Vicky dared me to make a hat off of some shit they found on the ground. And I said, done. And I made a hat and I still wear it. And I love it. I love that hat.
It's lovely.
Chanel said, she says, I have $25,000 in costuming and rhinestones. Things with Versace buckles on them.
Girl, she got Versace buckles.
She's Versnachy.
Girl. She's
very snooty.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't aware that sometimes that comes across a certain way on drag queen TV shows, because there is no drag queen TV show.
This is true. This is very true.
So she is grand. She's like the definition of grandiosity.
Yes, I definitely agree with that assessment.
So she's being herself. She's like, I don't want to make an outfit out of garbage. Like, I brought fabulous things.
Let
I
me
brought
show you
a
my things.
Package.
Yes, she knew.
Yeah.
Rue introduces the idea of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent and makes them all say it together, which I didn't really know what it all stood for. I was like, what's nerve? And then I realized I got nerve.
Yeah.
And I was, that's my biggest trait is nerve. But I didn't really understand what nerve was at first.
It do take nerve. How long did it take you to realize that charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent is an acronym?
Oh, I didn't know till after my season.
It took me about
season 6 or 7. I was like, y'all slipped that in, bitch.
It's so sly. Mm-hmm. And it's that thing where it's like, you know, a faggot will pull a stunt and you won't even know that they pulled a stunt until way after the fact.
Standards and practicing must have been reeling.
Girl, we were watching season 3 and it was just some random episode and I was like, oh, wait, that's an acronym. It's so sly.
I know, right? Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
I bet there's girls out there right now. I bet there's people listening to the podcast who are like, wait, acronym? What? Charisma, uniqueness, what?
I don't know her.
What
she
does
must
it stand
be from Akron.
What is it, Akron? Like, I bet people still don't know.
Some people don't know what acronym means.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine, too. It's okay to be stupid as long as you're cute. The first time Rue ever says that, it was super dramatic. She says, go.
The writing is there. And it gets tweaked and finessed and fine-tuned over the years. But the writing is so strong. Like, gentlemen, start your engines. May the best woman win. So you're getting gentleman and woman. It's mm-hmm. like both sides.
Yeah. I think I've had conversations with Tom, who is the lead writer. And mm-hmm. He speaks in soundbite. And he's hilarious. Yes. And I love seeing him. He's always got a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's starting your engines is the tying in of like Drag Race. It's still like there are car references.
It's iconic. Definitely.
Yeah. The checkered flags and the, you know, it sounds like it's a show about cars.
This is the point in the show where they start to delve into the queen's history a little more. Porkchop reveals that she's been shot at for being a drag queen.
Damn.
And you can tell, you can always tell by the interview who gets the most interviews in a show who the top and the bottom are going to be, because that's whose story they focus on.
Yeah.
And Porkchop is getting a lot of story early.
Sure is.
Rue, and in the workroom walkthrough, you can, it's also very evident who the storylines for that episode are going to be, because that's who they concentrate on. They don't have time for RuPaul to talk to everybody. They concentrate on Porkchop, and Rue calls her outfit costumey.
Wait, first, have you ever been shot at in drag?
I've been shot at multiple times in drag.
You've been shot on.
That's well, different. That counts. You saw that pair of lashes that got ruined.
Girl, those were a good old pair of stacks, too. I know. Brand new stack.
Brand new. I was very mad.
Ruined.
I came down the stairs one time to show what a man had done to me when Alaska was downstairs at my home.
Disrespected.
And the first thing I saw after them laughing was my other friend, Anthony, reaching for his phone to try to commemorate the moment. And I said, I'm going back upstairs, covered my asshole with the pillow. That was probably dripping, too. The drippings can.
And I lost my nails drinking in the chicken pot. Let's take a quick break.
For the drippings can.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
So we're at the coup de grace of it all, and the, is that a word?
It's coup de grace, it's spelled coup de grace.
Yeah, see,
but
I know
it's
a lot
French,
of words,
I
but
think.
I've never actually said them out loud.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Coup de ville, coup de grace.
Damn. You know who would know how to say that word? Merle Ginsburg, because she is a respected and noted fashion author.
Yes.
Yeah. I was flipping through like a Vanity Fair and like found her name once. I was like, oh.
That's fierce.
Yeah. We know that she's only there because Michelle wasn't available, so.
That's how the story goes.
Yeah.
Which is Michelle wasn't allowed to get out of a contract that she was doing a radio thing.
Yeah, and then she finally was because she went over her boss's head, who in fact was just a homophobic person.
Oh.
They allowed her to go and do season 3. Apparently, and it's talked about in Michelle's book, RuPaul didn't speak to Michelle for almost 2 years.
Right.
Because she felt so... It's
betrayed,
crazy. Yeah,
bewildered.
But it's crazy to think how you expect your best friend to just drop everything from across the country, her husband and family, and then come film a show, you know? So I'm not judging anybody because that's not what I do here. But I'm glad Michelle's on the panel now. I think she's a welcome addition.
She is.
Yeah, and Santino was there too. And I guess that's nice.
You know, he had just come from
Project Runway.
So he was like... I always liked him as a judge.
I didn't mind him on my season.
Right. He's been on the other side of it.
He was very honest with everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
He understands reality TV. He also understands fashion and presentation and putting a look down a runway, which is, so I think he's actually a really qualified judge for this spot.
Even more qualified is Bob Mackie, though, because
oh, they got Bob Mackie episode one.
Bob was there.
Girl, we had Bob Mackie on season five. There are so many parallels.
I was returning the clothes at EC2, his warehouse, after I rented them for All Stars. And he's like, oh, I can't wait to see what you did. I saw him in the parking lot, and I was like, hi, Mr. Mackie, I'm Willem. I'm so-and-so's drag daughter who worked there. And he's like, oh, I know who you are, dear. And I was like, oh.
He's a legend.
Yeah, and he's like, can't wait to see what you did. And I was like, I didn't get to wear any of them. They kicked me off before I went. He's like, oh, man, well, there's next time. So, but he's amazing. And
yeah.
He knows drag, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the runway. It's so tiny.
Bring it to the runway.
Runway. I'm pretty sure the curtains are held back with string. String or a clothes.
It's that good old Mickey's curtain.
Mm-hmm, that
where
one.
You pull that string and it opens that curtain.
That one. That's the one. And that filter is notable.
Yes. And I mean,
wow.
It's very hard to light a drag queen properly.
It is.
And this is an inexact science. It's season one. It's the first try.
Mm-hmm.
And even by the end of season one, they figure it out and it looks less harsh and crazy.
We know what color wig that is in person, though. We both know that's shade of RuPaul, yellow. And this light makes it look tangerine.
Toffee. Burnt toffee.
It's not a burnt toffee, but it's definitely a simmered toffee.
Simmered
that toffee is simmering. The gown is lovely. It's a nude illusion.
That side, when you catch the glimpse of the side, it looks like it's nude.
Yeah, like, it looks like she's giving body. I love it.
Yeah.
But you can't even see, she's, you know, what every drag queen dreams about being in her Christopher Reynolds portrait. It's eyes and lips and a whiff of a nostril.
Yeah. But like this, it's a shame because we miss out on seeing her face, and her face is so important.
Yeah, we also miss out on the sides because it's a square format pre-HD, so it's cropped kind of like Instagram style. Everything just looks wild, but the runway is even better because Nina starts it off and she slays.
Girl.
Just every time. She plaid pants, little red bejeweled blazer plus signature mohawk and like the strings across the face. I'm like, who would have thought of that? Like, she's so cutting edge. She's always current.
Yeah.
You never know when that's from, but it would still be cutting edge today.
Yeah.
A decade later.
Totally.
Yeah, she's everything. Akasha has a little hoochie streetwalker dress with lots of cutouts, big hoop earrings. It's very scoochy. It's a little scoochy dress, like a little turning dress. You don't wear that on stage. I wouldn't. That's the turning garment. That's what you wear to turn.
It is scooch.
It's scoochy down. Scoochy down boots. Stripper heel. Oh my gosh, this is so cute.
It's the angina, the classic angina. This is such a classic moment.
It is.
She took the loofahs and made... Okay, so they were given crap from the dollar store, but they were also given a rack of like hand-me-downs from Hollywood costumes or something like that.
Tram-me-downs.
Right. So I think what a lot of girls did was they took a garment and then embellished it with... They took a garment off the rack and then embellished...
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But what Angina did was she was like, I'm going to take the crap and I'm going to make a garment out of it.
She is fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is fashion.
Still.
Yeah.
She has a little signature poof on her head. I love a poof. I love that she didn't wear a wig and just said, this is my drag and you're going to love it. And they do. Her runway is by far the best presentation-wise. She's performing while she's there and always showing a piece of her personality, which is, I think, integral to drag. Anytime you're on stage, you want to show your personality.
Yeah. And she invented bald queens.
And Pork Chop has a bucket of cookies, which is always nice, too. Because who knows if you need a snack by the end of the runway.
Girl, I know. I know I get hangry.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let's
there
talk
are
about
things...
Pork Chop.
Okay. I don't... Like, looking at it head to toe, I'm not that mad about it.
On purpose?
I'm not that mad.
Okay, there's green, there's fringe, there's a bucket, a small shovel. I'm not really sure what all of this is, but she looks like a hooker in Emerald City who's only doing oral at this point because she can't do the back end gigs no more, just oral. She got that headband wig on.
And then there are like the plastic things hanging over the.
It's so soft focus, I can't even tell what it all is, though.
Right.
Is there a nude illusion panel down the front? Or was that a necklace?
She's wearing like these plastic see-through triangles, and they also go down the back. So I think it's like one of those moments where it's like, it could have been edited.
Wow.
And if it had a strong point of view, like, I do want to look like a hooker from Emerald City. Mm-hmm. She could have lost the bucket of cookies, which is kind of what was she going for, like beachwear? And why do we have the dangly thing off the wrist? It sort of seemed like
a lot.
It was a lot,
and she's not lit well, which is well. it's very hard to overcome bad lighting, as we've talked about.
If it lost a few elements, I think it could have been very elegant.
Yeah. The easiest way to overcome bad lighting is with bangs. And BB is banged down.
BB's wearing this leopard print. Girl, talk about a signature look. Mm-hmm. Because she's, in the last episode of All Stars that we just watched, she's wearing basically what we're looking at.
Yeah, jumpsuit.
It's a variation on this thing that's instantly recognizable. Girl, I'm not mad because I've been wearing the same thing in drag since the first time I got up in drag, which is a black plastic dress and giant blonde hair. So, hallelujah.
Yeah, Leopard is a drag queen neutral. We all know that.
Yes.
What about her reveal on the runway? Is this...
She has the first reveal on a drag queen runway.
Violet Chachki is quaking.
She's shook. Violet Chachki was also 3 when this happened. BB dramatically removes her belt and then features it over her forearm. And she just challenges you with a look like, yeah, I just took off my belt.
I did. And now it's dangling over my arm. She can do that, though. Yeah. Everything is an event. Everything. Her taking off the belt is an event.
Girl, Ricky Tiki Tavi.
I'm pussy, bitch.
Chanel comes out, and she looks like an
Chocorillo?
Orange.
Oh, no.
Chanel comes out looking like an orange that's half peeled because her ass is out. And she does have an iconic wig on and voracious use of drag queen color spray in the hairline.
Yes.
Merle is eating a pen. Merle loves it. She's serving. She's wearing basically trim. Trim on a belt.
Trimmings. L&J trimmings.
And you know she's got some spray adhesive in the back.
Girl.
You know.
And she looks lovely.
Yeah. My friend did her body, and he said that is some of his favorite work ever. Because when she gained some weight, he said, I'm so mad you can't even see it. That was my best work. Jade comes out looking fierce. Very Zulu.
Global. Yes.
World pride.
Yes,
spinning,
totally.
Turning, doing talents, doing tricks, spotting those turns.
She's a dancer.
Yeah, she's a dancer.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca comes out with...
It's not even a bus driver wig. It's like a mail truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
Or like...
It's what, like, you know, T-Boz would put on to go to the store to get smokes. You know? It's that kind of wig. There's a random long piece. There's some flick-ups. Exactly.
Okay.
But that face.
Right. The face, she skates through. She's the first one to rest on pretty.
The first Courtney.
Yeah, she's the first to rest on pretty. Because the garment is, I mean, it's basically Akasha's garment.
It's a hot pocket sleeve with black on the outside and some tinfoil rollout. When you leave the hot pocket in too long, then you got to script the cheese off.
It bursts.
That's this.
It is.
Now, Tammy looks like a goddess from a 1930s film.
She does.
She is resplendent.
Like she'd be singing like this.
Totally. I think, I think she looks like a hooker from Valerian. You know, it's very bad. She could be right along Riri in that movie. She looks great. Ooh, that shoulder came down. Ooh, she's giving reveals. She's very Tammy Brown, which who wouldn't want her to be?
And she goes out the wrong side. She goes up RuPaul's exit.
She went.
Day one, she's coming for Ru.
She's coming for her. Easy. The runway music is just a goddamn loop.
It is.
We're still figuring it out.
It's an 8 count, and it just feels like somebody's ready to sing the whole time. No one does, thankfully, although albums have been released since.
Yes.
The judging is kind of different, too. They had to come forward to explain their look for individuals. And I think Angina fared the best with her explanation of her look.
Yeah.
Just because she's so confident with it, you know?
Yeah, she knows fashion. She knows references.
And for the first time, some of the queens are questioned on their feelings about whether they wanted to be there. And
Mike Ruiz, he said, "Do you even want to be here, Agasha?"
Yeah. She took off work.
She said she took off work.
She took off work.
You better take off work.
The Interior Illusions Lounge is a, is not a lounge.
Well,
I don't think there's a soup or a restroom there. A lounge, I think you should be lounging.
I always thought that it was like a joke, like a vagina joke, like interior illusion, or like a tucking joke.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You're putting your stuff interior and it's creating an illusion. But Interior Illusions is a furniture store.
Yeah, it was on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right by the Smart Final.
They make cool... Don't you have chairs by them? Aren't those plastic chairs Interior Illusions?
No, those are the ones that Interior Illusion ripped off. They're the good ones. They're the design within reach.
Oh.
Mm, yeah. Right. I got them when I have money.
Oh, cool.
Now, would you say some of their drag was too... The comments that I love about the judging of the outfits were, is she too regional? And... They call Akasha demure or shy, and I don't know how a bitch in a little scoochie dress and a stripper heel could ever be called demure. And that hoop, they do say the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoe.
Girl.
And Akasha got a hoop on.
Girl, hula hoop.
I'm surprised she couldn't put her arms through it.
Girl, yes.
Yeah, and do the rings. I think I didn't mind Akasha's outfit compared to some of the others. It was simpler, and she did get good glove.
She's standing there perched with her arm up.
Arm up the whole time.
And it is a half rubber, like, hemorrhoid cream glove.
I have one upstairs.
Yeah.
It's studded, yeah.
Oh, it's studded.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't eat cookies from a bucket, but I mean, you think they let her keep that bucket? I don't know.
I don't think she... I think it should be in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, right? So the winner was Nina Flowers. And she gets immunity.
Oh, remember immunity?
Ooh,
remember that?
Yeah, someone during my... I think LaQueer had it. LaQueer and Chad.
Yeah.
It was when Princess would have gone home if it wasn't LaQueer.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. The bottom two are Akasha and Porkchop. And RuPaul explains the Shantae, you stay, sashay away mode.
It's so weird hearing her be like, so, in a moment, I'm going to say Shantae, which means you can stay, or sashay, which means you are no longer on the show and you have to go away. Do you think Akasha is the first lip-sync assassin?
Well, she knew the words, Porkchop didn't, so she fared better than that. I don't know how they have shots of Porkchop when the music is going, work, work. It's one word, honey, and you're not even opening your mouth.
And she stumbles.
Yeah, she definitely had a little tippy tumble. But I found with every reality TV, whenever they have a girl in interview or a contestant in interview giving false confidence, like saying, I've been doing this a long time, you know she's going home. You know?
Right.
It's like acting challenge with Milan. Oh, you went to Julia. Mm-hmm. Good luck. It's very The Writing's on the Wall, which is probably one of the songs they couldn't clear this season from Destiny's Child also.
Do you think Porkchop was plucked or pissed because her exit was very ladylike, very graceful, very gracious? She was like, I'm thank you so much, and I really wish all the best to everybody. I didn't think it was disingenuous.
No, I think it was true. I think she'd been around the block at this point. She had done a lot of stuff, drag-related. She did Pageant, Trantasia. This was just another gig for her, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't go her way, but she's always been graceful about it. She's always been very supportive of World of Wonder. I remember when she thought she was going to be on All Stars 2, we were doing the Miley Cyrus thing at the time, and she's like, well, Willem, they got me, gal. I tweeted for them, I posted everything they wanted, and I thought I'd be on it, but they said no, and they said maybe next time, and I was like, yeah, maybe next time, but I could tell in her heart she was kind of defeated by it, and she wanted a second chance, which was sad, because she was the first girl to go home, but there's always got to be a first.
Yeah.
And I remember my first.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was, Reagan was in office. I think that she has also been more, she's had a lasting impression in a way more than a lot of contestants who have maybe gone longer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's that power of pork chop. And I don't know. I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of her. So maybe she will get on All Stars.
There's no mirror message, which is kind of, I miss that. I miss not having a mirror message. But after this break, we'll give you our own mirror message.
Out of all the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, there's one contestant who stands out as an icon above all the rest. And that, of course, is
Tammy Brown.
Yes. So this is a segment we like to call
Tammy Tidbits.
So we have a podcast where we basically talk about every episode of Drag Race, and we started with season one, and we thought that we needed a little bit of Tammy Tidbit. Like, we wanted to get your thoughts on some things. Is that okay?
Yeah, whatever y'all like.
Oh my God, I love you. Yay. Because I was like, we need some Tammy, a little Tammy Tidbit.
Tammy Tidbit.
Tammy
That's what
tidbit.
We're calling
Tammy Tidbits. Yeah, you should do the theme song.
I like that. Nice, Tammy Tidbits.
What's your favorite Destiny's Child song?
Favorite Destiny's Child song? I think I like In Vogue more. Or Survivor, I guess, is just fine for me. Survivor, sure.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I can't say I'm like a pop fanatic for the most part. I mean, it's some things they hit and some they don't for me.
Tammy Tidbits.
Ooh. Have you heard any rumor or conjecture about the girls from this season since they've stopped? Have any of them gone back to hooking, their day jobs? Where are they now? You know, we should do a Where Are They Now on the podcast. For sure, we'll catch up with one of them.
I would love that. And I hope that we can have guests on this podcast. I think we can have roving reporter. We can send texts to some of these girls. I know you have some of their phone numbers.
Group messages,
maybe
all of
a
it.
Few.
Right? And tell us what you want to see or actually hear because you can't see us. But we are lovely right now.
Yes. Full 613 extensions to the floor.
Mm-hmm. I have spray adhesive all over my body and individual stones.
Yeah.
Preciosa.
I have Versace buckles. I'm wearing $25,000 of trimmings.
Right. You can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is and subscribe and talk to the people on Megan's list. And really, is that
Megan's Law?
Maybe Amy's list? Somebody's, some bitch's list, Carol's list.
Somebody has Angie's list.
Angie!
Yes.
Angie's list. I knew
Angie
it was.
Angie has a list.
Tell them all about us on Angie's list.
How do you think we did on our first episode?
I think we broke new dawn.
We broke the dawn.
Yeah, we definitely
we broke the dawn.
We definitely broke the dawn. And I think it's fun, you know, because the children are our future, and I hope some of the children are listening to this.
We're going to do 100 of these. Over 100.
Yes.
Okay. That's the
Either
that's
we
the
die or you
plan.
Die. That's the only way you're getting out of this podcast, people. So our hashtags are at Willem and at the only Alaska 5000.
Those aren't hashtags.
Whatever. Our hashtags aren't that. What do you call them? Ats?
Yeah, but what?
On Instagram, I'm at the only Alaska 5000, and you are at Willem. And let's use the hashtag race chaser.
Race chaser. Hashtag race chaser.
Which happens to be a song.
written by me.
Thunderfuck.
Available on iTunes.
Insert car sound.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Race Chaser.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast. Dog.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Sound designed by Mike Malarkey.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck, which is available on iTunes.
Or wherever fine music is sold.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.